Lord, may we know your presence, your comfort, your peace among us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What stands out, I think, for any student of the humanities are not the wars that have occurred between the great powers of this world, but it's the moments of fleeting peace that occurs in between. It takes very little effort to explain why conflict occurs, and it takes almost no effort at all to make those conflicts worse. But knowing how to resolve disputes peacefully, well, that talent is in short supply. Whether it's in the world or in the church, conflict just seems to come naturally to people, while peace is always a great struggle. So being Anzac Day, it seemed fitting to consider why we find peace so elusive and what we might learn from Jesus' work and his example as the Good Shepherd. Micah the prophet lived at a time when the value of kings lay in their capacity to expand their borders while exploiting their enemies' weaknesses. Warfare was not only constant, it was expected. 2,500 years later, and it seems like so little has changed. But Micah receives from God a promise of peace that will come in the days ahead. The simplicity of this promise belies the power of its imagery. For God declares that a time will come when everyone will get to sit under their own vine and fig tree. This is a vision not simply about individual prosperity, nor a symbol of divine blessing that's unobtainable. It's a complex picture of shared security where everyone benefits from the work of collective well-being. This peace emerges when people turn their death-dealing weapons into instruments that bring life. For a harvest is only possible when a community learns to work together. And a good vintage is not something to be hoarded, but something to be shared. But there's a problem with this vision that Micah has. There's something that stands in the way of its fulfillment. President Theodore Roosevelt highlighted this obstacle when at the turn of the 20th century, he said it was better to speak softly and carry a big stick. Big sticks are necessary when people are afraid. When people are afraid, violence often becomes the means by which people get their way. Violence isn't simply assaulting someone physically. It's using things like intimidation and threats to put someone in their place. Violence snatches things from others to make ourselves strong. Those who use violence will often minimize what's happening and shift the blame by saying things like, "Look what you made me do." When people are afraid, they see themselves as victims and anyone who opposes them as the enemy. When someone is afraid, anything can become a weapon in the hope that such things will ultimately rescue them. Before long, a cycle emerges where the powerful snatch power while the repressed plot revolution. Before long, everyone starts turning plows into swords. When they imagine the worst about their neighbours, pruning hooks become spears. When everyone trains to fight, everybody falls prey to this endless loop of fear and revenge. Micah saw not only the promise of peace and the problem that comes with fear, he also got sight of the solution too. Micah believed that when the word of the Lord came to those who experienced violence and turmoil, they would want to live differently. "Let's go to the temple," the people of the world would say, "where God will teach us his ways, that we might walk in his paths." Only how would this word come? Would God be satisfied with shouting at humanity from a distance, much like a parent does on the sidelines of a football match? How long would it take for humanity to travel to the Lord's mountain? Learning to walk in peace means paying attention to what God has done for us all. For in Christ, God does not speak at a distance, but has put on flesh and has moved into our neighborhood. So that rather than waiting for people to come to Jerusalem, God has gone out into this world to speak to people from every tribe and every language. Rather than leaving humanity trapped in a cycle of fear and revenge, God has made the first move so that no one needs to be afraid anymore. The reason that none of us need to be afraid, either of God or of each other, is because of the work that Christ has done. For Christ died for all, so that everybody might be freed from the grip of sin and death, so that everyone can live lives that are full and productive. All of this, all the work of Christ, is the fruit of God's character. This is simply what love does. Love is never reserved for the good, nor is it simply confined to the glorious. But God's love is there for everyone, even the bad and the ignorant. The prejudiced and the sanctimonious too, they get their share of God's love. God's love is not just for the law-abiding, it's there for the lawless also. God's love is strong enough to overcome the grave. It's deep enough to overcome the injuries that we suffer, the wrongs that we commit, and the conflicts in which we are involved. The work of Christ, crucified and risen, is deep enough to change everything. For when we were at our weakest, when we were at our rebellious, when we were of absolutely no value to God, that's when Christ died for us all. Not just us, not just them, but for everyone. If Christ died for all, then maybe we can be honest about ourselves. We can talk and behave in ways that don't threaten others. Maybe we can lay aside the weapons that just won't save us. Set free by Christ, we have the opportunity to become co-creators, the co-creators we were always meant to be. We can become people who take responsibility for finding solutions, rather than simply absolving ourselves of having caused the problem in the first place, or minimizing our part in perpetuating these conflicts. We can stop being the problem, and we can start to be part of the solution, because it's God's Spirit who works within us to bring that result to fruition. It's God who calls us to walk in the path of peace. And it's God who gives us the grace to do it. It's God's grace that pours into our lives, healing all those wounds and displacing all that fear, building endurance, stirring character, producing hope. Hope that things can be different. Now, of course, learning to live peacefully is far from easy. But thankfully, Jesus gives us an example to follow when he describes himself as the Good Shepherd. Jesus is good not simply because he is nice, nor simply because he is biblically minded. Jesus' goodness is seen in what he does. And so he offers us an example so that we might become more like him and less like the hired hands. Hired hands who are marked by only one attribute. They will sacrifice you to save their skins. The hired hands will let the flock be scattered if it means that they can stay in charge. And as for going the extra mile to bring in different sheep, well, good luck with that. Hired hands will not do the hard work to make reconciliation happen. They will blame others and pass the responsibility around, all because it is fear that dwells within them. Yet the shepherd is different. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. He puts aside his comforts and convenience for the sake of those he cares for. Jesus protects the sheep, not running away when danger appears, but standing up and overcoming those dangers. Jesus gathers the sheep, speaking to them and guiding them to their fold, a place of safety and security. Jesus was never controlled by fear, but was always energized by love. In fact, Jesus doesn't just bring sheep who looked and sounded like and thought like the disciples. No, he brings other sheep into the fold too, different sheep. Jesus brings people like us into God's kingdom, people from all nations, so that everyone might learn to walk in the way of his love. This is why Christ has been lifted up to become the highest one of all. Jesus is the living temple where we not only get to see God, but where we can learn to live in peace. God's love has been given so that it might be shared by all. When we are free and content in ourselves, when we know that we are loved, we are no longer a threat to others. When Christ is our vine and the tree under which we dwell, then our peace can never be stolen or destroyed. Christ's love is offered to all. It's this love that we hear when we listen to the shepherd's voice, When we listen to the shepherd's voice, we see the shepherd's work. And because we see that Christ died and was raised for all, we can be bold enough to follow the shepherd's example. We can learn how to be good shepherds. We can be shepherds who work for justice, shepherds who help others, shepherds who know how to walk and to live in the way of love. Amen.